This message you're about to listen to was recorded live at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the Throne Room Parish, Transcorp Hilton, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
It is time to wage war. Tell your neighbor it is time to wage war. The brother said, I'm in church, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. But I think those in church are also ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. We don't have rascals here. Praise God. Amen. It's time to wage war. And in the next 40 minutes, by the special grace of God, we believe that whatever battle you will enter into right now, or whatever you're going to confront in battle, the Almighty God will deliver victory to your hand in the name of Jesus. What you do not confront, you cannot conquer. Whatever you do not confront, you cannot conquer. Nothing changes until you apply force. The law of gravity says everything is static until a force is applied. Nothing changes until you apply force. Brothers and sisters, there are battles everywhere. Whether you are a Christian or not, you must face one battle or the other. That you are a Christian does not exempt you from battle. The Bible said that we do not war like the people of the flesh, but he said we wage war against principalities, against powers, casting down imaginations and pulling down everything that is against you. Whatever you cannot, you don't confront, you cannot win. Whatever you don't confront has permission to continue. Whatever you don't confront has your permission to continue. The world right now is full of darkness and activities of darkness everywhere you turn. In the office, in the places of authority, even in the church, there is wickedness everywhere. But if you can rise up and say, this wickedness must stop, whatever you say becomes your portion. Every wickedness marshaled against your life is stopping today. I said, God is going to put an end to all manners of wickedness in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's turn our Bibles quickly. To the book of Exodus, chapter number 17, reading from verse 1. Exodus 17, reading from verse 1. Exodus 17, from verse 1 to 16. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the cheating of the people, of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Verse 8, take note. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and all went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and all stayed up his hands, the one on the other side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So shall be your portion this morning. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Every representation or representative of Amalek shall be wiped out of your life today. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse 1 to 5. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 5. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 5. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. This morning, while sitting, you're going to pray. You will say, Father. Father. Oh, you say, Father. Father. Every representative of Amalek in my life, arise now. Wipe them out. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Every representative of Amalek in my life, Father, arise and utterly put them out. In the name of my Father, in Jesus' mighty name we are praying. As you have prayed, so it shall be for you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because of our time, I'll be a little bit fast. And because there are one or two things that God wants to do even after the message. And I believe that you are living here victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, the topic is war against the spirit of Amalek. Say it to your neighbor, war against the spirit of Amalek. Say it authoritatively. Say it like a commander. Hallelujah. This morning, we'll be waging war against an enemy that has been in existence for a long time. An enemy, an arch rival that has vowed never to allow the promise of God to come to pass in our lives. One who says that anything good that is intended by God in our lives will not come to fruition, will not come to materialization. The pastor who led said, every woman that is pregnant, at the ninth month, she is expected to deliver. But I want to let you know that it's not every woman who is pregnant and has attained the ninth month. Not all of them go home with their children. It's not all of them. Some enter into the delivery room and they tell them push, and they push, and they come out with dead children. But this morning, this ninth month, your blessing will not be dead. Your blessing will not be delivered to you dead. You are living here with a blessing full of life in the name of Jesus. If you've been to the hospital, you just hear some, they will say, sorry, we lost the baby. We tried our best, but we couldn't help it. We lost the baby. Some, they will say, sorry, we lost the mother, but the baby is alive. Some, they will come and they will say, sorry, we lost both the child and the mother. In the name that is above every other name, I speak into your life this morning. The sorry from men that is negative, that is something that is denying you your blessing, you will not hear it this month. You will not hear it this year. In the name of Jesus, every orchestration from the pit of hell that we want to make men to greet you, sorry, you lost something, that orchestration is paralyzed. I say, shall not come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. Bible says, why do hidden reigns and men imagine vain things? He said, the kings of the earth, they gather, they conspire together. He said, they imagine vain things against the Lord and against his anointed. He said, he that sits in heaven shall laugh. I am speaking to one person here today. Every conspiracy from the pit of hell, it shall not stand. I say, shall not stand. Over your life, it shall not stand. Over your family, it shall not stand. Over your business, it shall not stand. Why? Because the Lord will laugh at them. When they sit down to gather against you, Bible said they will come in one way, but they shall scatter in seven ways. Everyone gathered against you, I decree today, they shall scatter by fire. I say they shall scatter by fire in the name of Jesus. So we'll be looking at the Amalekites and what they represent. Who are the Amalekites? Who are they? Who are the Amalekites? They might not be existing today as Amalekites, but the spirit that was behind them to do the terrible things that they did during their time is not dead. Spirits don't die. Amen. Who are the Amalekites? Amalek is the descendant of Esau. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 36, verse 12, Genesis 36, verse 12, the Bible said, the son of Esau married or had a concubine, not even married, had a concubine, and that concubine gave birth to Amalek. And so it was the concubine of Esau's son that gave birth to Amalek. Amalek is a descendant of Esau. And if you remember your Bible study very well, you will bear witness with me that Esau is the arch rival of Jacob. Esau is the arch rival of Jacob. When their mother conceived them in the womb, the Bible said they began to war against one another, Esau and Jacob. But the truth of the matter is, God said, Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved. The promise of God upon Abraham, which continued in Esau and in Isaac, was to continue in Jacob. But from the womb, Esau became his arch rival, saying, Jacob, the promise of God for your life will not come to pass. Because God had already chosen the one he wanted to choose. And so he was to be called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But while their mother carried them in the womb, the Bible said she was feeling uneasy. And she went and she found out that one is going to be the elder, one is going to be younger, but the elder is going to serve the younger because that is what God has made. And Esau knew this, and Esau said, the promise of God for your life, the continuity of the dynasty of Abraham, will not occur in your life. And I want to pray for someone this morning that every power that is saying that the blessing of God, the promises of God, the prophecies of God over your life will not come to pass, those powers shall be paralyzed in the mighty name of Jesus. What are the characteristics of Amalek? Amalek stands for rivalry. Everybody say rivalry. Say rivalry. Who is a rival? From my own little definition, a rival is someone who wants to enjoy what you are enjoying at your own expense. Praise God. A rival is someone who wants to enjoy what you are enjoying at your own expense. Someone who wants what is due to you. Your rights, your privileges, your benefits at your own expense. That's who a rival is. In the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible said there was a man. He had two wives. One was called Anna, the first wife, and the second one was Penina. Now, Penina became the rival of Anna. But somehow, what Anna was supposed to enjoy, Penina became a beneficiary. And much more, the Bible said, Anna was barren and Penina was giving birth like rats. Oh, permit me to use that word. Amen. So she was giving birth like rats, and on that, she was still the chief tormentor, the chief oppressor of Anna. She was enjoying the benefit as a second wife, but still, she was tormenting Anna daily until the Bible said Anna kept on weeping in the name that is above every other name. Everyone that has trampled on your rights, your privileges, and your benefits, and still they are tormenting you, they are oppressing you. Today, God will oppress your oppressor. I say the God that I serve will oppress your oppressors. Everyone that is denying you your privileges, your benefits, today they shall be utterly wiped out. I want to hear your loudest amen. So Amalek stands for rivalry. That one that says, no. This one is not going to be promoted. If I be in your office, there are many people whose promotion has been stagnated because somebody, and Amalek is standing in the office and is saying, over my dead body will this one be promoted. I told you that the world is full of wickedness. I know of a sister at 42. 42, she's not married. She's a virgin. And she came, Pastor, I don't understand what is happening to me and all that and all that. I've not seen it. Said, since she was an unbeliever until now that she's a Christian, no man has said how far. This is the altar of God. We can't be telling you lies. As an unbeliever, even as a Christian, and she's a graduate, passed through the university, and no man said how far. Excuse me, I was once an unbeliever. And I know what unbelievers do. For a lady, not that she's ugly. Even ugly people get married. Praise God. Praise God. And while we were praying, God showed us a revelation. And the daddy's, the lady's father's elder sister's daughter stood and said, over her dead body will she get married. In the revelation, say, over a dead body, will this one get married? And I said, I saw a woman. I gave the description and said, that's my daddy's elder sister's daughter. I said, what happened? She said, I don't know, but when she was going to get married, she was going to marry a driver. So they were growing up, and in the midst, somebody started making jest that, okay, she's going to get married to a driver. Then someone else took the report and told it to that lady and said, this, your sister was among those making jest of you that you're going to get married to a driver. Then she uttered a statement and said, oh, me, I'm going to get married to a driver. Let me see who she's going to get married to. And she took it lightly. It doesn't matter. Praise God. So let me just see who she's going to get married to. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and there's no headway. And we had to decree. Since she has remained adamant and stubborn, Father, deal with her. As I speak with you right now, she has run mad. Anyone that vows that is not going to be well with you, I came with judgmental fire this morning. In the name that is above every other name, they said it will not be well with you. They will pay with their life. I said they will pay with their life. In the name of Jesus. That's what Amalek is. Excuse me. If you are the type that says, oh, let my enemy live long so that they will see what I will become in future. Brothers and sisters, you might not amount to anything. Say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They will pour sand on that table. Praise God. God himself said, don't spare Amalek. That was what cost Saul his throne. When Saul was given an instruction, go and destroy everything in Amalek. And Saul decided to spare the king and decided to spare some choice animals. And when the prophet came, he said, oh, I've done what you have asked me to do. And the prophet said, what is this bleating I'm hearing behind? Say, oh, those are the choice animals from Amalek. From Amalek, the instruction is wipe them out. God has said, I'm going to put out their remembrance from the surface of the earth. And you refuse to do what God said you should do to the latter. Say, your throne is taken away from you. You can't be more righteous than God. This morning I've come to tell you, every representative and representation of Amalek in your life, in your business, in your marriage. Some women are struggling with your husband right now. You suffered with him and they didn't know when you suffered. But now he's making it and they are saying, no, you are not going to enjoy the fruit of your labor. I am decreeing, anywhere there is a Penina, say, you will not enjoy the fruit of your labor. She shall pay with her life. And any man in your office that says you will not be promoted, he didn't send you to school, didn't pay your school fees, didn't read your book for you, didn't employ you, but because he suddenly becomes your boss in this office and is now frustrating your advancement. They are standing against God today. And as a servant of the Most High, I decree in the name of Jesus, anyone that says your promotion will not come to you, death is their sentence this morning. Amalek stands for opposition. Your main opposition. It's not APC and PDP, man. Amalek stands for what? Your opposition. The one that says you will not move to the next level. In the book of Nehemiah, the Bible said there was a man called Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer in the palace of a king. And the Bible said he heard about the condition of Israel. And he stood up and he said, I'm going to act as a deliverer. But somehow, the Bible said, when he had audience with the king, because the king gave him permission, oh yeah, go ahead. And he became the governor of the land. But while he was building the wall of Jerusalem, three people rose up and said, it's not going to be possible. You have been a cupbearer. You cannot be a governor. How can you ever be promoted? Their names were Sambalat, Geshem, and Tobiah. He had been made a governor, but they said, no, we are going to frustrate you because your life must be low. You cannot be lifted high. But the Bible said, Nehemiah prayed to God and said, God, remember me. This is the month of September. And this September is the month of remembrance. And I'm saying to somebody here, it doesn't matter the level that you are in right now. God has decided to lift you high. And any power that is standing against it, they shall be paralyzed. Can I hear a louder amen? In the mighty name of Jesus. Anytime you are making progress in life, Amalek will be against you. Anytime, Amalek will never be happy at your progress. It doesn't matter what you do to satisfy Amalek. It will never be satisfied. All Amalek is looking for is your downfall. They are looking for your downfall. They will wait forever. I said they will wait forever. Because your downfall will not come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please let me know when the time is. The Bible said in the book of Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 to 16. The first part from verse 1 to 7, the Bible said the children of Israel were thirsty. They needed water. And they began to complain. And the Bible said, Moses went to God and he said, God, what do I do? And God said, just go, strike the rock and water will come out. And the Bible said in verse 7, Moses did as God said he should do. And water came out. And they were satisfied. There was a testimony. Immediately, testimony came. The Bible said in verse 8, Amalek appeared. Amalek appeared in order to fight the Israelis. What does that tell us? Amalek shows up at the point of celebration. Amalek shows up at the point of rejoicing. Amalek shows up to say, no, you can't continue to rejoice. Amalek has apathy for celebration. He has apathy for rejoicing. But whether they like it or not, you shall celebrate. God will always give you cause and reasons to celebrate. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amalek is a testimony destroyer. That's one of his characteristics. He's a testimony destroyer. He will not prevent you from praying for that breakthrough. He will not prevent you from trying to aim high. But when the breakthrough comes, Amalek will want to destroy it. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 11, John 11 from verse 1 to the end, you read the story of Lazarus. When Lazarus was sick, Amalek was just at the corner. Lazarus died. After 4 days, when he was stinking, Jesus showed up and brought him out. Now, there was celebration, and Jesus had a profound testimony in his ministry. He had raised up the dead. But look at chapter 12. The Bible said in chapter 12 of John that some chief priests gathered together. And you would think that it was a good congregation. If you start reading that chief priests gathered together, you would think they gathered together to sing songs to God. You think they gathered together to pray. You think they gathered together in order to celebrate God. But the Bible said in John chapter 12, some chief priests gathered together in order, and they conspired together in order to kill Lazarus. That was the only reason for their gathering. That we are going to kill Lazarus. What is the implication of that? That the testimony of Jesus will not stand. That the ministry of Jesus will not be enlarged. That's how Amalek behaves. Oh, you've got the testimony, but we're going to destroy it. There was a woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. That woman was barren. She was called the Shunammite woman. She had an encounter. And after that encounter, she brought forth. And suddenly, she was just relaxing. And the boy was with the father in the farm. And suddenly the boy just said, my head. And that was the end. So they take him to his mother. And by the time they took the boy to the mother, testimony had died. And the Bible said the woman ran back to Elisha and said, I didn't ask for this child in the first place. Why will you give me something that is going to give me joy just for a brief moment? And the Bible said, Elisha came. And the boy came back to life. I'm speaking to somebody here this morning. Any testimony you've gotten and you've lost it, you are recovering it now. I said you are recovering it now. In the name of Jesus, every good virtue that you have lost, you are recovering it now. If your health is a challenge right now, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rufeka, the Lord that healeth. If there's a challenge in the area of your health, you are recovering your health fully. I said fully. I said fully. I said fully. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible said they wanted to conspire together. Chief priests gathered together and they said, we're going to kill Lazarus. But they couldn't succeed. They didn't succeed with Jesus. They won't succeed with you. I said they won't succeed with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible said in that passage that we read in Exodus 17, that Amalek gathered and began to fight against the children of Israel. Fought to the extent that the Bible said that the hand of Moses was wearied. Amalek is a stubborn pursuer. The hand of Moses was wearied because Amalek was adamant that we are going to win this war. Every stubborn pursuer shall be discomfited. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 5, we read about Amalek. The Bible said David went to war. And before he came back, his wives, his children, together with the wives and children of 600 men, were all taken captive by the Amalekites. Amalek is interested in taking your possession. Amalek will allow you to gather. When you have gathered, when you are about to eat, then Amalek shows up in order to scatter. The Bible says in the book of Judges chapter 6 verse 3. Judges chapter 6 verse 3. The Bible said, Amalekites and the Midianites gathered together against the children of Israel. Now, what happened is, anytime the children of Israel plant, Amalek will not show up. When they are watering the plants, they won't show up. When the plants are growing up, Amalek won't show up. When the plant has brought forth fruit, Amalek will now be waiting. By the time it is time for harvest, Amalek will show up. Now, when Amalek shows up, he's not interested in taking the harvest away. Bible said, they will come, take the harvest, and burn them and utterly destroy them. Every power that is making you to have efforts without commensurate result, in the name of Jesus, I speak against those powers. They are paralyzed in the mighty name of Jesus. See, Amalek, we wait. After he has gathered, then they will come and they will scatter. And the children of Israel were under that bondage for 7 years until they cried to God. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who is ready to cry to God and say, God, Amalek must be utterly wiped off my life. Somebody who's always waiting at the point of harvest. A woman gets pregnant, and by the time she conceives, Amalek doesn't show up. She carries the pregnancy for 9 months. All the pains, all the rigors, all the morning sickness, the throwing up, all the bed rest. And after 9 months, at the point of delivery, Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, when Jesus was to be delivered, Bible said the dragon opened his mouth in order to swallow the man child. He said, but they was giving the woman a wing that she flew away and water came. Said the dragon opened his mouth in order to swallow the harvest. That's how Amalek behaves. When it is time to begin to reap the fruit of your labor, Amalek shows up and says, no, it's not going to be possible. They are silent forever today. Over your life, they are silent forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. What do you make of the story I'm about to tell you? Some youth coppers in Delta State. They have served. They've gone through the higher institution. And they have served. And they went from, I think, Wari to Asaba to do their passing out parade. They came to Asaba, did their passing out parade. And 11 of them was going back. And they had an accident and the 11 died. What do you make of that? That is how Amalek operates. What do you think will happen to those families after all the spendings, after all the sweatings? They didn't kill them when they were in their mother's womb. They didn't kill them when they were 1 year old. They killed them when it was time for them to begin to bring harvest to the house. I am speaking into your life. Every power that is waiting for the period of harvest, that is saying that you will not harvest what belongs to you, I said they are paralyzed by fire today. I said they are paralyzed by fire today. In the name of Jesus. What do you do to Amalek? You wage war against it. You wage war against it. That's number one. Number two, don't be afraid of Amalek. Because if Amalek is contending against you, he's also contending against God. Because you are the apple of God's eyes. What do you do to Amalek? You are to give Amalek Operation Wipeout. Operation what? If you are casual, you can end up a casualty. I repeat, if you are casual about your life, you can end up a casualty. But this morning, I'm looking at victorious people. I said I'm looking at victorious people. 1 Samuel 15, 1 to 3, Bible said, God gave Saul an instruction. And he said, I remember the iniquity of Amalek. When you were passing by on the way to the promised land, they stood and they said, no, you cannot advance to your promised land. He said, on account of that, I remember their iniquity. Rise up, go, and wipe off Amalek. And Saul rose up, but he partially obeyed, and it cost him his throne. God is saying this morning, there's one person here, rise up and fight Amalek. Rise on your feet this morning.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. To download this message, please visit our podcast at The Throne Room on your handheld device or computer. For any inquiries, call 08087-000004 or visit the Life Center at number 20 Colorado Close off Dame Street, Maitama, Abuja. You can also visit our website, www.rccgthroneroom.org. You are highly lifted, highly favored. Thank you.